Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. And so this is the part that really interesting, Dr. Gregory, is that in order for God to cover them, he had to deal with an innocent animal. But if you go down to verse 22, it explains to us why he had to clothe them. They were already naked. They because of sin, they died spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But God had to explain to them why he had to clothe them with skin. So in verse 22 it says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So here is the predicament that we see man is in here, is that he's in a position where he's transgressed or he's sinned against God. And so in his sinful state, because he disobeyed God, if he took out and reached for that tree of life,
mm-hmm,
in his sinful state, that means that he would live in that sinful state forever.
Amen.
You track with me? In other words, if he reached out in his sinful state and uncovered or unforgiven, he would have lived forever in a sinful state. And what sin does is separates us from God. And so what he would have did, he would have lived forever separated from God. And so we really don't understand how critical, crucial this was, that even when we were in our sinful state, God said, let me put a plan into action,
mm-hmm,
to bring these wayward or stiff-necked folk in a position where they won't be able to reach for that tree of life and live forever, and extend the hand of grace to them to say, hey, don't eat the tree of life, because if you eat of it and you're in your sinful state, you will be separated from me forever. And so what God says, he said, I got to do something to get them to the point where they'll not get to that tree of life, put my plan into action to bring them back into the proper relationship with me, and get them to choose that before they die the physical death. So mm-hmm, so they die spiritually, but if they die a physical death and partaking of that tree of life, then they would have lived forever separated from God.
Died in their sin.
Died in their sin.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it's interesting too, since you're talking about it,
yeah,
because he could have just wiped Adam and Eve off,
mm-hmm,
and started over again.
Started over again.
But instead of doing that, this mercy,
right,
grace,
right,
is shown right here.
Right here in the beginning. That's what I tell you about the Old Testament. Grace and mercy is in the Old Testament right,
mm-hmm,
here. And what he did is in verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of tree of life.
Right. To protect him, right?
He's protecting them here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you said the way of the tree of life, mm-hmm, when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the what?
And
the
life,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what God protected them from, Jesus secured when he was crucified, when he died for the sins,
right,
of the world. And now he is that tree of life that we can come through,
right,
partake of,
mm-hmm,
and live forever with God.
With God.
Amen.
You see how I'm tracking? But God, in this third chapter, what he did was that he gave a shadow of what was to come. If you go back up in verse 21, he said, made coats of skin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was Adam and Eve, right, and the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order for you to get coats of skin, what did he have to do with the animals?
Somebody had to die.
Sacrifice. They had to die.
Innocent animal
had to die.
Mm-hmm. And when you slaughter an animal to get his skin off, he's going to bleed, right?
Yes.
So there had to be an innocent life, innocent shedding of blood,
yes,
in order to what? Clothe them.
So here
is the innocent lamb or whatever animal he killed, innocent life, shedding of blood. God is showing that this is the only atonement for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Greg, we got so many religions,
mm-hmm,
out here that come up with all kinds of atonements for sin. But without the shedding
of blood,
There is no
atonement.
No atonement.
And you know, and it's true. And when you bring it into the 21st century, with these different religions, they come up with their own little different plans. Well, you've got to do this in order to be saved. You got to speak in tongues
mm-hmm.
in order to be saved. You got to do X, Y, and Z. And none of that go along with what the Bible teaches. So, you know, it's a thing where you really, as we've done, you need to go back
mm-hmm.
and take a look at this third chapter. And then when you fast forward to the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
you can understand how the shedding of Christ's blood once
mm-hmm.
and for all is the final and the true atonement for blood. So we don't have to go through this
right.
in chapter 3. All we've got to do is to come through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you see God, even in their sin, God's love for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So that's why even today when someone does something, there is nothing that you can't go to God, ask for forgiveness, and he won't forgive you and love you and bring you out.
That's right.
It's up to you not to continue to go back.
Exactly. And like Dr. Gregory was saying, you know, there's so many things out here. People come up with all kinds
mm-hmm.
of stuff. You know, the Lord knows my heart. Well, I'm not that bad.
You shouldn't say that.
Or
right? use that. Myself,
I'm
using
yeah, because
he does.
I know your heart,
and I'm not that bad. I didn't do this or
right.
I didn't do that. And the thing is, if you go back to the original plan, God said, I understand how you got into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how you feel. I understand how you got separated. That's why I put that sword there to keep you from taking the tree of life. Because Sheila D, you know us, we would have went ahead and said,
is it hot?
We would have went right through it. We said, well, we naked now. So we know good and evil. Let's go over
let's
here
keep it
and get this tree. Let's go over here and get this tree of life. It looks good too. And I think a lot of times people don't understand that if they would have taken that, they would have lived forever separated God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the soul is going to live forever.
Right.
Either with God
right.
or separated from God. You track it with
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people say, well, I'm just going to have to face it when I face it.
Be careful what you say or what you ask.
Right. I'm just going to face it the way I'm going to face it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't believe that there's a heaven and that
mm-hmm.
there's a hell.
Mm-hmm.
To be separated from God is instant hell.
Yeah.
And we just get a little tasted that when we're disobedient. But the thing that we need to remember is that the hand of grace is not always going to be out there.
Amen.
Right.
There's going to come a time where the hand of grace is going to be what? Withdrawn.
That's right.
And then the tribulation period is going to
yeah.
come.
Mm-hmm.
And then all those plagues are going to come. And it's going to be devastating to those who didn't receive grace while it was still available.
But you know, too, Doc, even with all of that, even when you talk about during the tribulation, there are still periods within
mm-hmm.
there
mm-hmm.
that God gives mankind the opportunity
sure does.
To accept him.
But what does he do?
Man continues to turn their back. I mean, and that's the part that really does not make sense. You know, God has he's been doing it from the beginning,
right.
continues to do it all through the word, and then at the end,
right.
We'll continue to give you an opportunity. But we just don't want that.
No.
We hard-headed.
Well, people think that salvation is hard. And it's not. It's you confess with your mouth.
We make it hard.
That you believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ that he was born, raised, and died for
mm-hmm.
our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you truly believe that, you
right.
don't do right.
Exactly. There's a transformation. Or regeneration of,
right.
of the spirit, and you know that whole covering with the shedding of blood to keep you from being separated from God is because God doesn't want us to go to the place where people who rejected him have gone.
Right.
But people live in a world and say, "Well, I don't see anything wrong. I can
mm-hmm.
sin all I want
right.
and not have a problem."
Right.
But there's gonna come a time where you're gonna close your eyes for the
right.
last time.
Right.
And like you said, I want to fast forward to the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to talk about, you know, there's a reality that there is a heaven and there's a hell.
Mm-hmm.
God put this in place so that people wouldn't be lived separated from him. And, you know, we had to go to the rich man and Lazarus. And people really need to see this for what it is, because all of our loved ones who closed their eyes for the last time, as soon as they close their eyes, they're going to know whether you're in heaven or you're in hell.
So,
like that.
That's your soul.
Let's look at the word. Luke 16, let's look at beginning of verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. Put on my British voice now. Who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously. Sumptuously, that's a nice word. Sumptuously.
Every day.
Every day. In other words, he was rich, driving around probably modern day in a Bentley, you know, convertible. Jet just, you know, back and forth to Paris or whatever around.
Never
you know,
been hungry.
Out to Dubai, you know, just eats one piece of something and say, oh, I don't want that. But fed sumptuously every day. And that's the condition of a sin-sick person, is that they believe that they can do whatever they want to do and there's no consequence.
Right.
But if we look at this word, that God lets us know that there is a real place for the dead. And there's a real place for the dead that are separated from God. And so in verse 20 it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So you had the rich folk, and then you had the poor folk, right? Rich folk doing good, poor folk hanging in there, trusting in God. Sound like today, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
Huh? And it says, in verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. In other words, all he wanted was some crumbs. I guess trickle down didn't work back then either. Oh, God. Did I say that?
Out loud.
Did I say that? And the only creature that would have compassion on him. Look at verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the what? The dogs came and licked it. Isn't that terrible? Sheila G, isn't that terrible? That the only creature that would have mercy and compassion on you
was
the dog.
Amen.
Not
your fellow man.
No.
Because you're in a different class.
You couldn't even get the crumbs.
You're not in the same class.
See how sin messes you up in the head?
Yes,
sin
it will
mess you up, mess your heart up, mess your head up. And the dog, the creature that's supposed to be the lowest creature, is the only one that's going to give you compassion.
That's right.
But how many of us know that the dog's compassion is God's way of letting us know that he hasn't forgot about it? He hasn't forgot about it. And somewhere along the line, God will steal somebody, something, or something to help us out. And what I like about it is that we're not going to be down always.
Right. That's right.
In other words, it ain't over until God says it's over.
Amen.
And so that's what we want to encourage our listeners tonight, is that, you know, hang in there. It's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. But God has already made a way for those who are going to be faithful unto him, that he was going to be able to bring about a change because of their faithfulness. So let's look at I call it the dynamic shift. In other words, it's going the rich man's way, but there's going to come a time when God's going to shift, and there's going to be a shift in the atmosphere. There's going to be a shift in what the outcome's going to be. Is it a dynamic shift change that's going to happen? So let's look at verse 22. In verse 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, symbolizing a heavenly place.
Right.
And the rich man died, what? And was buried. Now, this is verse 23, Sheila G, is where we
Come
get
on.
It.
Yeah.
Luke 16:23 says, and then what?
Hell.
He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and see if Abraham will fall off and Lazarus in his bosom.
His money couldn't buy him heaven.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Did not buy him heaven.
Could,
and his arrogance bought him hell.
Bought him hell. Now, this is what I like to talk to my certain folks called purgatory. certain folks believe that you are in a state between heaven and hell, and that if you pray enough or give enough money to somebody, that they can pray you over into heaven. That's purgatory.
Okay.
But we see that in this chapter that there is no purgatory.
No.
So once you made the choice to reject God, your choice is made.
Amen.
And now here come the consequences.
Mm-hmm. And what's so Sheila G, what's so interesting is that hell is going to be even worse because you can see what you missed.
Yeah.
Dr. Gregory, a part of being in hell is that you're going to be able to see what you missed.
And then it's too late.
And there's nothing you can do.
You can't say rewind. Never mind.
Never mind.
But, you know, too, Doc, yeah, I was sitting there thinking, see, mankind, they want everything that they can get now. You know,
right.
Scripture where Jesus said, I come that you might have
right
and have it more abundantly.
Right.
You see, people, they want their abundant life now without the spiritual. It's all about the physical, the money, the cars, the wealth, all of that, just like with this rich man. And he didn't even stop and think about that until he died. You know, people used to tell me all the time, you can't take your money with you.
No.
And as I got older, I understood that.
Right, right.
But and the whole thing about Jesus coming, saying that I come that you might have life, is not about prosperous or being
right,
rich
right.
or having all of this wealth. It's about living an abundant life in Christ.
That's it.
So that if you have Christ within your heart, then when you die,
that's right.
you'll go up and not down.
And you get your reward. Amen.
And the rich man was so concerned about feeding his physical, physical man, he never fed his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And here come the consequences for not feeding the soul.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, that's the way we think. And that little word, sin, as you said, Pastor, it blinds us to the understanding of what life really is all about.
Right.
And when you go back and you think about Genesis 3, that you know, talking about the tree of the life.
Right.
The whole reason why the Lord put that flaming sword there was to keep people from knowing the difference, as you said, being separated eternally from
right.
God.
Right.
But yet he gives us a choice.
Yes, he does.
Day in and day out. That whole business with Sandy. You know, some folks were worried about it. I wasn't worried about it. We were sitting in there praying, okay, Lord,
right.
if the power goes out, it goes out. We've got flashlights
right.
to make provision,
right.
but we weren't worried about it.
Right.
And nothing happened. So God, I mean, you know, we got to take a look at that whole thing. God knows what he's doing, but we got to learn how to trust him.
Amen. Amen. Even in the difficult
times.
And the beggar trusted. He was only thing that was bringing him comfort was the dog. And we got to understand that sometimes it might be rough, but God hadn't forgot about you.
Amen.
Can you imagine telling somebody, don't worry about it, dog going to come help you out?
Hello.
Hold on.
Look at you.
I got a dog.
Come on now.
When that Lassie, they had a whole show back in the 70s, Lassie,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
What, boy? What? He did what? And then Lassie, you know, Lassie, right?
Yeah.
So we got to understand that God will use anything. And he'll use the things that man thinks that are the lowest to help us. In other words, he's going to show he's God by using things that we would think we would ever need to have to help us. We got a caller. Anthony, we got a caller on the line. You put a caller on. Hello, caller, you on the air? Hello. I mean, Anthony, when you put them through, let us know when you put them through. But going back to this, again, there's no place called purgatory.
Right.
There's no in between point where Dr. Gregory, you can call your rich up on Wall Street and put $1 billion down for Kayson, so we need Kayson to get into heaven.
Yeah.
We're going to put $1 billion down. He's good for it. He's good for it.
Right.
So in heaven, I'm in purgatory or between. But if Gregory puts a word in for me and puts $1 billion on me, I can get over in heaven.
By heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't
work
so.
Like that.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so there's actual torment.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at verse 24, and this is what people say, I'm gonna die and I'm gonna go to hell and I'm just gonna have to face it.
Mm-hmm. You better watch it.
And you hear people just that bold and
uh-huh.
that arrogant,
right.
You know, just to say I'm just gonna go to hell and I'm just gonna face it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking everybody with me. and in verse 24 it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said, Lazarus, now he needed the poor fella that he wouldn't even give crumbs
to. Because he's a rich man. He didn't need to look after
now he can see
brotherly
Lazarus
love.
Doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How you like me now?
That's love. What the Bible says, the first shall be
last
shall
be
first.
And here he is. He's looking at Lazarus, and he's asking that he may dip the tip of his finger in water
mm-hmm.
and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.
Hmm.
So not only can you see what you're missing, but you're tormented in the flame. And can you imagine just a drop of water that's going to give you some relief?
Mm. And you can't even get it.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
No, you can't even give it. Well, he didn't think about that when he was the rich man because he thought he could take his riches with him. Or, like you said, I'm going to live happy and do whatever I want to do now and worry about the consequences later. Well, now he has the consequences, and in his mind, wasn't worth it.
I don't know. That,
but see, you know, the thing is with most folks, though, people aren't really concerned, you know, with the afterlife.
Right.
They're only concerned with the right now.
What's going on right
so
now?
So that's why they do the things they do. They say those crazy things and live the kind of life that they do. But if you really believe in a heaven,
mm-hmm.
and you know then that there's a hell.
That's right.
Most folks, if you really believe in a heaven, then you ought to be striving to get there now.
That's right.
Right.
You're making plans. This is in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, we're all going to die.
That's right.
And we're going to be just like either the rich man or Lazarus. Mm-hmm. We're either going to go down or we're going to go up.
Right.
So what we do here now is what will help decide where we go. And like you said, there's no in-between point. There's no rest stop.
And to follow up on that, we don't know when we're going to die.
Never know.
So while you're that dumb, happy, spinning in the world,
mm-hmm.
I'll worry about it later. And later could be when you walk out that building
mm-hmm.
and get hit by
That's
a
it.
Car.
That's it. There's a story where another wealthy fella, he tore down that barn.
Mm-hmm.
His harvest was so plenty, he tore down barns and built bigger barn,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to eat and drink and be merry. And the word of God came and said, fool, your life is going to be required of you tonight.
Amen.
Right.
And then who's going to deal with all the rest
all
of us?
Amen.
You know how folks fight over dead folks.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yes.
What did he need? When they asked me that,
oh, that's
what did
mine.
He
that's
and you know
mine.
What I tell them? They left everything.
Amen.
You didn't say, he's not going to take anything. What did he or she leave? They left everything.
It all.
Left it all.
And you may be going out of here to snatch this stuff.
And then you got folks taking them off and pulling rings off.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking gold out people's
yeah.
teeth.
But that is why it's important that we feed our soul every single day.
Absolutely.
The flesh will take care of the flesh.
It will.
But you have to be actively studying God's word, having a prayer life, communicating with the Lord, so that when he does take you, he knows
you're ready.
You're right there and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
None of this, oh, wait a minute, Lord, I wouldn't, because you know there's a lot of people that won't come to church because they have to get themselves together.
It'll
we need
happen.
To come to
It'll
church so you can get yourself together.
And the thing about, you know, this account here, the rich man Lazarus, is that all of us have our earthly existence.
Right.
Right.
Our earthly existence is in this flesh that we have.
Amen.
Because this flesh came into this world sinful. And so the earthly existence is going to end because the flesh is going to go back to the dust from whence it came.
Mm-hmm.
But those who accept the sacrifice, this blood sacrifice of Jesus that God says this is atonement for sin, that's what's going to keep the soul alive. And then there's going to be a new clothing, a new body.
Mm-hmm.
That's not made by hand, but eternal. And that's why when in the heavens, that's when Paul talks about that this earthly must put on, this mortal must put on immortality. And it means that we can't, in these physical bodies, we can't handle it.
Mm-mm.
Our soul is going to be separated from, when we close our eyes, the body's going to go back to the dirt, and the soul is going to go back to the Creator. And he's based upon whether we've accepted his plan or not is whether we're going to be in his presence eternally or separated eternally.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and look at some of this more, this rich man who made the bad mistake. Bad mistake. And a lot of folks making a lot of bad mistakes out there. But the biggest mistake is to deny the Holy Spirit that you know that Jesus died in the flesh. To deny that spirit that's convicting you and telling you that this believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that is God's plan of salvation. But let's look real quick in Luke 16:25. He said, but Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now this is this paradigm shift here. But what he said, but now he is comforted and thou art
tormented.
God's going to get the last word.
Yeah, he's like, so wasn't worth it.
And he's going to get the last word. Amen. And again, the torment, the torment of hell is seeing you missed it and
hello,
there's nothing you can do about it.
Hello.
Right.
I know.
That is crazy.
Now, let me throw up because I'm getting ready to mess with folks. when you read this and you study and you really, as we're bringing the different things out, we as Christians need to stop making a bunch of excuses as to why we can't do what God requires. Yeah,
yeah,
God understands. Just like he made provision in the beginning.
Yeah.
The Lord will always make provisions for us as long as we're doing what we should.
Mm-hmm.
But the excuse making,
well,
I'm tired. And this goes for folks who don't want to come to Bible study.
Uh-oh.
Folks who don't want to come to church on Sunday, but yet,
don't
want to
go to
Sunday
school.
You can turn to the Redskins game.
Cowboys.
Or the Giants or whoever.
Stay up all night.
But, and excuse making is a tool of the enemy. And that's
absolutely
what sin
absolutely
will do for you. We get so caught up in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
That when the body says, well, I don't feel like going. I asked a few times, now suppose Pastor gets up on Sunday morning and you ask, oh, where Pastor? Well, he in bed. He didn't feel like going.
Exactly.
You all would have your mouths poked out. But yet God teaches us that there are rewards for being obedient.
Right. Absolutely.
But we don't want to do that. We want it all now.
That's it.
Well, we don't like to be uncomfortable.
Hello.
And I was seeing that when he was saying Lazarus had evil things.
Yeah.
He was uncomfortable.
Yes, he was.
But he was faithful.
Wow. Say that again.
I said he was uncomfortable, but
he was faithful.
Amen.
That'll freeze that.
And what does that mean to be faithful?
And then by being faithful, even though he had to go through these evil things, he was able to have peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs licked his sword.
My goodness.
So, yes, you can go through, you can be uncomfortable, but you can have peace of mind because your faith knows that God's going to bring me out of it.
But some people would think they're too good for the dog to lick his soul.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. But he's providing them comfort.
And bust hell wide open because they say God is not good. He got the dog licking my soul. Huh?
Or you could just lay there and
suffer. Glad to get some dogs
right, exactly. If it's going
to
provide me comfort, fine.
Amen. Come on, listen.
Right.
Lick my sores to provide comfort.
But that's how people, that's
how
a lot of people are going to hell because
they
God's not going to come and
well, they want to be blessed in a certain way.
And there's everything just going this fairy tale that's just going woo and everything is going to be wonderful. But if God sends you a old time preacher like Pastor C,
come on,
and tells you for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, you say, well, that's just old K song. He ain't talking that old Bible stuff.
But if you listen and you believe it, it will give you peace of mind.
folks don't realize, and I tell them all the time, you know, I was not born saved.
That's,
I did my running. I drank. I partied.
That's
the best of them. I went to church after being out Friday and Saturday night. But the thing was, I went to church.
Mm-hmm.
And God pulled all of that from me.
Exactly.
Because you can't play the two.
No.
It's an either-or type of thing. And you can't grow up and then, you know, you're in your 30s and 35, mm-hmm. but yet you want to party on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
You're late for church on Sunday.
Uh-oh.
And you're doing everything but paying attention to the word. Hello.
Lord have mercy. Faring, and the Bible said, faring sumptuously.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Every day.
Sumptuously. That's a word. Sumptuously going to get a whole lot of people spent the day.
Exactly.
Every day. But let's go back. Let's go back. And God is speaking through Abraham in verse 26. And this is what I'm saying. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no gray area. Either you made it or you didn't.
Hello.
The last time when you take that last breath
Come
in your
on,
earthly existence,
you can't
that
say,
is IT.
Can
mm-hmm.
I have one more minute?
It's not going to happen. And so in verse 26, he says, and besides all this between us and you, isn't there something what God said between us? Abraham said between us and you, where before it was the rich against the poor.
Amen.
Right now, he's like God's servant is saying between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed.
Mm.
So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from this. In other words, we can't get to you,
and
you can't
get
to us. Now, you can see us and see what you're missing, but a part of being in paradise or being in heaven is that once you've made it there, you're no longer concerned with the torment of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, no more crying, no more pain, no
right.
more suffering.
Right.
Those you're comforted now, and the people that were comfortable while they were in this earthly existence and faring sumptuously, now they're tormented. In
right.
other words, the dynamic has changed, the shift has changed, and the paradigm has changed, and now the last have become first, and the first have become last.
Hmm.
And so now, you know, the rich man says, well, I guess I ain't going to do nothing but bust hell wide open.
Well, he's already
I guess
in there.
I'm going to be here.
Forever.
He said, now I want you to go tell my peeps. And Dr. I wonder how many people that are in the middle of this hell right now are wishing that their loved ones would listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're in hell right now. They're being tormented right now. How many of them are in the sense that, oh, my God, I made a mistake, but I want Bebe and them, Ray Ray and them, not to go to hell.
Right.
Listen to what the preacher says, but they can't. They can't. They can't get there.
Can't go back and tell.
They can't get there. So I'm believing, you know, just based on this, that there's a whole lot of people who have died and realized there is a hell and they're tormented, wishing that they could tell somebody just one thing, just believe
it.
This thing is real.
It's real. And there's a lot of people that don't believe it's real. And that's why they continue to do what they do. And the worst thing you do is play with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, in front of church folk, I'm going to act this way.
Uh-oh.
But in front of the worldly folks, I'm going to act this way. Eventually, when you have enough God in you,
mm-hmm.
you can't. You're either going to go this way
right.
or you're not.
Right.
You can't continue to pretend.
But even at that, you know, the thing that gets me that, you know, when you talk about God, and that God would allow things in your life while you
Right.
To
wake you up.
Right.
But the way we just ignore them,
mm-hmm.
and we go on, I mean, you know, when we're going through something, oh, Lord, we come to church,
Uh-oh.
We're praising them,
Uh-oh.
We're praying,
Uh-oh.
All this, that, and the other. But
as soon as it's fixed.
As soon as you get your breakthrough.
Okay,
get
I'm out there, man.
Hey, I'm back out there in the street again doing my thing.
Or we want to help
I
God out.
That,
yeah.
No, you good, you good. So now he realized I can't get there and they can't get here. He in verse 27 he said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. In other words, go talk to my peeps. Let them know they need to put down the TV, the drugs, the alcohol, the prostitutes. They need to get right with the Lord.
Get right with God.
Right?
While they can.
While you can. That message, okay, so I'm preaching the same message. Gregory teaching that same old message.
Mm-hmm.
Folks rolling their eyes, talking about, he preached the same old message. Same old Jesus, same old. They need to listen to him. They're telling them to listen to him. But their voices can't be heard from the grave.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And so he's saying, send somebody to my father's house. And he says in verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know how many folks think
now he has compassion.
Yeah, yeah. Not worried about somebody else out there.
Right, he wasn't worried about the poor man just wanted the crumbs from the table.
But
and the dog licking
his
sword.
Right, his own
people. He worried about his own people.
His own people.
Okay, let me have compassion for others now.
And it's crazy. Because you got people that think that they can stand up and they're going to be able to deal with hell.
Yeah.
I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it when I get there. I'm going to be the baddest thing in hell. I'm gonna be, you know, the devil going to have to get with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, really? Really?
That's right.
You that bad that you think you can deal with that? And so he's saying he's in this place of torment. And this is the crazy part. This is the crazy part about humans and their sinfulness and what they think about their sinfulness. It's like when God put that flaming sword in front of the tree of life. He put it there because he knew how just crazy people can get when they're determined to do their own thing.
Right.
So what he says is that to the rich man's request in verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went I'm sorry, go back to verse 29. He said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear this.
Right.
In other words, he said, you know, Cason and Gregory, they still preaching, let them hear them. And then he says in verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. In other words, let somebody come from the dead and tell them, this thing is real.
Shock them into it.
This is
it.
For real.
He want them to scale.
Shock them into
come
it.
Come back from the dead.
Yeah, this thing's for real.
Come from the dead.
And you got all these people that go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I know we just, Halloween just came.
Hello.
People put all these skull and bones on their tattoos. And there's just this thing that people have with death. You know, the motorcycle riders, they got the skull and bones. And what is this thing, this preoccupation that people have with death? Like, death is so cool. You know, skull bones and stuff all over their bodies. Like, death is so cool. But if you look at this Bible and this word, Sheila G., nobody wants to die and go to hell.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I say, I want to go to heaven because I catch enough hell down here. So I don't need it to be worse than it already is.
You remember back in July when we had all those 105 degree days?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-mm. And all the time, you can't run to the air conditioner. Not
over them air conditioners.
You can't
broke.
Even, like, jump in the shower. Oh, no.
But Abraham tells him, he says, look, man. He said, in verse 31, he said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how deaf of hearing or lack of hearing, bereft of hearing, people are spiritually.
You know why he says that? Because he's saying, God is already speaking through Moses and the prophets.
That's right.
It's not them in the flesh. The Spirit is already coming through a prophecy or a pastor. But God is already speaking to them, using them, Moses, as a vessel, and they're not listening.
And there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
There is no excuse.
But you know what, too? The way mankind is, someone from the dead could still rise.
Mm-hmm.
And people are
which
not
is
afraid.
What he's saying.
All they're going to do is be afraid maybe for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They get out of their sight. Just like those pictures of The Walking Dead. Dying,
right, yeah.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
You know, people are just fickle.
Yeah. They don't believe it.
They're not going to believe until they actually die and go to hell.
Lord have mercy, preacher.
And then it's going to be too late.
Woo!
Yeah.
But our job
that's
is
right.
to continue to preach.
That's right.
Attempt to persuade them in whatever way that we can. Then that where it says, whosoever will,
that's
let them come.
Right.
But most of them just not going to do it. That's not what they want.
And you can explain this, and you can go through his line by line and say this is real. But they'll look at the fella that built that boat when it never rained.
Mm-hmm.
that boat, I think that was Brother Noah.
Noah. Uh-huh.
And you know, all the biblical scholars, you had to help me out, Dr. Gregory. You know, in my finite mind, I say it was close to 120 years, but you had those biblical scholars. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you exactly mm-hmm. how many years it was because they subtract something or something else or something. But they missed the whole message was
right.
It was a long period of time that he preached the same message.
Amen.
That it was going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
And people looked at him like he was crazy,
yeah.
Laughed him to scorn.
Yeah.
What's this fool talking about? It's going to rain.
Yeah.
He ain't no rain. What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What is rain? And he out there building a vessel in the middle of the land.
Come on.
How it's going to rain.
Mm.
And that's the way we are with this message. This message right. telling people, hell is for real. There's folk that's dying and going to hell, lifting up their eyes in hell, mm-hmm. tormenting, wanting your loved ones to be saved, and we're just like Noah. If there's a real hell,
mm-hmm.
there's a real hell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to die and go to hell. You want to take God's hand of mercy and grace and receive him by faith so you won't have to experience this. But the message goes unheeded.
Right.
The message is I can handle whatever it happens. I don't believe that. I believe that. And, you know, all our responsibility to do is to water and to plant. Water and to plant. And God will give the increase and to plant. And hopefully it'll follow ground and good soil. But the enemy comes and he'll come and he'll snatch
temptation,
it away.
Temptation.
Mm-hmm. Snatch it away.
And the enemy uses the other senses, uses the eyes,
mm-hmm.
the taste, the emotions.
Yeah.
Where God is, we're trying to reach everybody to their spirit.
Right.
And they would be able to believe faith
mm-hmm.
because they don't see it.
Right.
But if you have the faith and you trust and you believe in God, then that will convince you and convict you to stay on the right path.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we want to go based off what we see, what
and
how we feel.
Right.
Now, emotions will get us in trouble all the time.
All the time. Getting your feelings. You get in your feelings.
Yes.
And you know, too, and that's one of the reasons why when you read this, just like the last episode where, you know, he had to tell the rich guy that even if the dead were to rise, they would not still listen. That's not the way that God wants his people.
We want to believe
in him. He wants us to believe in him on our own.
Right.
Not because we got scared and
right.
No, it's a thing, okay, I believe for the 59 years I've been on this earth
mm-hmm.
of what I've gone through from point one
right.
to where I am now.
Right.
And I believe because of what I've gone through and the Lord was right there extending his hand of invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And once you accept it and come to him, yeah, you're still going to go through your share of trouble
right.
because it's a teaching time. You're learning
right.
how to grow deeper and stronger in your faith. But God does not want mummies or dead folk to
puppets.
Come and worship him. He don't need puppets.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven is not for robots. Sorry. Don't work like that.
Let's ask one of our studio audience what they think about this heaven and hell. They think it's real.
Well, it's definitely real. You know, just listening to you guys, right now we are living in hell. And I think that we deal with enough drama that if we want to live with this for the rest of our life, eternal life, then there's something with that person. You know, and no, we're not perfect, but, you know, we strive for perfection and
That's
we strive
right. That's
to...
Right.
You know, to please God and honor him and not make the same mistakes because you have to let the Spirit lead you. But I definitely believe it, and I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
You said it right, Pastor Anthony Kason. During the summertime, it was hot. And there was a couple of times that we went without air conditioning in our
okay.
own church.
Okay.
And I said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Open the windows didn't help. Fanning didn't help. So I do not want to go to where the heat is for eternal life. you know? So I ask the Lord to forgive me. There's something that I did. Lord, please
Amen.
Forgive
Amen.
Me. I want to be with you
That's
for
right.
eternal life.
Amen.
So
I think of like is a quote that, you know, most of us have heard in some form or fashion, but it says, live like there's a heaven, and even if there's not, instead of living like there's not and find out there is.
That's right. Say that again.
Live like there's a heaven. You know, I'd rather live like there's a heaven to find out there's not than to live like there isn't and to find out there is.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, I'd rather do what I'm supposed to now so that I can go where I'm supposed to when I leave here.
That's right.
And I'd rather live that way now and, you know, give up on the things that I don't need to be doing anyway than to just have all the fun I want now and then to find out I'm going to be suffering for the rest of eternity.
Oh, my goodness.
So
oh, my goodness.
I definitely believe.
Amen.
There's this book, actually, that someone wrote that she, you know, I'm not sure how true, how not true it is, but she was saying that she died and she went to hell. And she was trying to, when she came back from, you know, came back to the land of the living, or she came back to your life, she was trying to get her family to save themselves and to accept the Lord as their savior, because she did not want them to suffer. She
right.
did not want them
right.
to go to that hell that she was in,
right.
you know? And, you know, sometimes we don't know how true or how not true that is, but sometimes you have to look at those things and you have to listen to those people. I'm like, you know what? Like Brian said, do you really want to find out when you die
you
that there has
night.
Always been, do you want to chance it? Life. And Pastor always says it all the time, no one can put you in hell or in heaven.
Amen.
You know, it's only you, and you make your own decisions, and you will make the decision for you and for your life. You know, no matter how great my pastor is and my first lady are, they can't get me into heaven. I have to get myself into heaven. So, you know, I just pray that everyone does get on board and really start looking at their future and eternal life. So,
you know, one thing that Sister Hannah was saying, you know, we have to keep in mind is that no man knows the day nor
the hour
when old man death is gone, come and take us away. Uh-huh. And so every day that God gives you, you count it a blessing and you live it to the fullest, because no matter how young, middle age, or how old you are, we just don't know how long we're going to have to live. I mean, I often tell folks, suppose you wake up one day and find out that you're dead. That's going to mess up your day.
Isn't that so?
But, you know, death is something that we really have to think about. I mean, not to the point where we dwell on it to the point where, you know, we stop living for Christ. But the Bible teaches that we've got to live one day at a time anyhow.
And the thing that we really have to look at is that God is going to do everything, because he doesn't want anyone to be lost.
To perish.
He doesn't want anyone to be lost. So he'll put this flaming sword in front of the tree of life. He'll who was it, Doc, where he had the donkey talk to the fellow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The donkey, I
Amen.
Forget the
yeah.
name. But
yeah.
The angel that was ready to take his head off now, and the donkey was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have a donkey talk to you. He'll have crazy preachers. I call myself, he'll have crazy preachers like Kayson and eloquent orators like Dr. Gregory will be able to, you know, tell you, you know, Sunday after Sunday, don't do it. Accept Christ while you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come home soaking wet, tired, exhausted.
Hello.
You don't want to play with it.
And you know, and I find myself, because I've found a renewed strength in my preaching. I try to give it my all. Years ago, just before my mother passed away, she had lost sight, but whenever she heard me preach, she could hear me.
Yeah.
And she asked me one time, why do you preach
so hard? Yes.
And I told her, because
it
could be my last
time. That's right.
So I try to give it my all. And
yeah.
You're right. I mean, when I go back in that study, before I even change, I've got to sit down
right.
and catch my breath. Right. By the time I get home, all yep. I can do is go catch a nap.
Take a nap. Exactly.
That was a game. I almost see no game. I'm just game watching me.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, you know, and that's our job.
Right.
To try and get folk to understand. Because we live among a hard-headed people.
Right. And we stand between the living and the dead.
Amen.
We stand between the living and the dead,
mm-hmm.
and God does everything he can so people will be able to have their spiritual eyes open and realize they have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Right.
And he'll use any means necessary. But the bottom line is people have to accept it or reject it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Just free will, free will. But like you said, he will give you chance after chance and do whatever he has to do. If he has to break you down or
Amen.
Allow things to
he
happen to you,
you,
he'll allow those things to
oh
happen
my goodness.
To you
yes,
for you
will.
To wake up.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's there are times when, yes, people have had out-of-body experiences because of the fact that they were on their deathbed
yes.
and God sent something in them and felt something in them. And sensing that in them, he would speak to them. And that lady that you may be speaking with, she may have been on her deathbed. And because God saw that sparkle,
right.
just that sparkle, he's like, okay, I'm going to give you another chance, but you need to go and do like Matthew 5 said, go tell somebody.
Exactly. And you know, it's a thing where you have to get into the Word, like Pastor Gregory said, get into the Word. And when you get into the Word, what will happen is you'll begin to get that ability to have a place where you can deal with the situations in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you begin to start dealing with situations in life, then what happens is God starts revealing himself more and more, and then you'll know it's real.
Right.
Amen.
It won't be Amen. A fairy tale or something where you say, is it real or is it not real?
Mm-hmm.
But because you got into the Word, and then you begin to start trusting God over and over again, and you say, wow, God did that.
Mm-hmm.
According to his Word, he did that. And no doubt in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, you can't make me doubting because I know too much about it.
No, personal.
You have a personal relationship.
And you know, too, and you would think that with all that people go through in life, that would be enough evidence that something is happening here. God get our attention. But it just don't seem to work like that. You know, we go through, we have trouble of one sort or another. And we believe for a while, but then soon as we get out of it, we're back to being our old, same old selves again.
Right, right, right. And that's faith. That's lack of faith, should I say that? It's lack of faith because if you don't have the faith to believe that God is with you, and sometimes when people, that temptation comes up, they lean towards that temptation because they don't have the faith to believe that they can go without whatever's tempting them. That they can walk the path of righteousness without having to continue to please the flesh. And so often we just are concerned about pleasing the flesh, but if we please God, all those other things will just be added unto us. And you'll see that, you know what, was that drink really worth it? You know,
mm-hmm.
I woke up, my head was bad. But we trust in him, then things will start to come naturally. Us, and that's about having faith and believing in the Lord.
Okay, looks like we got a call and then we're gonna have a question. See if we can get to him real quick. We got about 2 minutes.
Hello,
caller, you on the air?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good evening. I'm good, thank you.
Good evening.
I was listening about the heaven and the hell, people not believing that there's one. There's a little bit of description of God's wrath in Revelation 14, starting at verse 9 down to 11.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to read it all, but there's a little bit of God's wrath on the people in hell. For those who want to read about it, I know that it describes hell in Revelation. I can't find it right now where there's a description of it, but it is
mm-hmm.
very real. And it is not a place that you even want to think about, let alone live there forever.
That's right.
Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11, is torment enough to scare you straight?
That's right. And who is this caller? What's your name?
This is Ira.
Ira. I thought it was you, Ira.
Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Okay. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I'm learning some things.
Bless you. God bless you.
All right, bless you.
She's right. When you look at verse 11, Revelations 14 and 11, and it says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
My goodness.
Wow.
Now, this is during the tribulation period, and there's going to come a time where death and hell are going to get cast into the lake of fire. Right. But we're out of time.
It's getting good.
G.
Yes, it is.
My goodness. Where does the time go? But we thank everyone for tuning in, everyone for listening. Appreciate the Holy Spirit stopping by. And, you know, we, in a matter of an hour, we went from Genesis to Revelation.
Right. And a little bit in between.
But it's good, and we encourage everybody. We see all our listeners. We encourage you all to just continue to listen and continue to come on out, because this is what it's all about. It's an interactive, you know, family-style Bible study, and we're just encouraging everyone to get into the Word, because, you know, heaven and earth will pass away.
Right.
But the Word of God is only thing that's going to stand forever.
That's right.
Only thing. So that's what we need to get in. And so, Sheila G., we're going to ask you to close us out in prayer. Pray for our listeners in the studio. We'll close out with amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come and thank you for once again an on-fire Bible study, Lord. We thank you, Father, for how we've been able to expound on your word. We pray for our listeners as well as those that are in the studio, Lord, that we'll be able to take this word and help others, Lord. We send out a special prayer for those on the East Coast that are suffering right now, Lord. Let them know that you are right there with them, Lord, and that you will bring them through if you just put their hands in your hands. We thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And remember that there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
Good night.